Meantime, some public defenders across Massachusetts rallied outside courthouses today for collective bargaining rights. They say addressing their pay should be part of criminal justice reform efforts in Massachusetts. Among those who rallied is attorney Ben Evans, who's on the line now. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Deb, thanks for having me on your show.
So tell us about what happened this morning. I guess you were at courthouses in Northampton, Fall River, and Boston?
Yes, and this is kind of the second go-round in recent months. Back in November, we were in Springfield, Worcester, and Roxbury.
Mm-hmm. And what are you asking for?
Well, Deb, fundamentally, we're asking for fairness. Mm-hmm. The employees of the Massachusetts Public Defender Agency, which happens to have this unusual name of the Committee for Public Counsel Services, but for all intents and purposes, we're mass defenders, we're asking for fairness. We're asking for exactly the same fundamental rights that employees of every other Massachusetts statewide agency have had for decades. And that is specifically the right to collectively bargain and to seek the protections of a contract. And we think it's only fair that we get the same rights that employees of other Massachusetts state agencies have had for so long.
And you're talking about 750 or so people of the Committee for Public Counsel Services, and it's not just attorneys, it's other employees as well. Is that right?
From the very beginning, I became a public defender in Massachusetts in 2005 and became involved in this struggle. And from the very beginning, it was secretaries, it was administrative assistants, it was social service advocates, it was investigators,
okay,
it was everybody.
Okay, what's the average salary of a public defender, Ben?
That figure I don't have for you.
but I'm wondering...
This issue is not, although it is obviously related to money, it's really about more than money. It's about having the kind of predictability that you get with having a contract. It's about having a voice.
I get that. But for our listeners, you know, who are not attorneys or maybe don't need a public defender, tell us, you know, roughly why you should make more and what effect this has on the justice system if you don't.
So this particular struggle is not specifically focused on us trying to get more money. Really, we're fighting for our clients and for ourselves. Every day in court, we're advocating for the poorest and most vulnerable people in the Commonwealth. People who are accused of crimes, obviously they have a constitutional right to a lawyer under the famous Gideon versus Wainwright decision of 1963, U.S. Supreme Court. And Commonwealth of Massachusetts, our state, has an obligation, a constitutional obligation to provide those people with lawyers. And the problem is that when you have all these great young, a lot of them young, newer lawyers who come in, they're enthusiastic, they're doing this work, but they're also facing tremendous debt from law school loans, and sometimes they can't afford to keep doing this work. They leave after we've, you know, trained them and mentored them, and they're really doing good work. They leave. Whatever clients they're representing have to have new lawyers assigned. Some people end up with, you know, like three or four lawyers on a case. That creates what I feel is unnecessary delays just because we're of attrition. We're losing people because they don't have that predictability of knowing I'll get a cost of living increase.
And some folks have made that same argument about prosecutors. And their salaries, their average salaries have been published. And I want to say there's something like $40,000 for a new assistant district attorney who's prosecuting cases. And they say that their salaries need to be raised because it does similar things. It stalls the criminal justice proceedings when there has to be a change of prosecutor. And then, you know, it's also they're losing talented lawyers because they're in so much debt and they can't afford to live on those salaries.
Well, Deb, I can't give you specifics, but I can tell you that our salaries are exactly in line with that. It's more or less the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also tell you that, you know, the district attorneys are in a very different position. They're elected, right? So they're elected in each of the counties in, you know, whatever, Hampden County, Bristol County, Suffolk County. And so as elected officials, they have a lot of discretion, right, about you know, how they set their budgets, and because they're implementing policy, right? Whereas for those of us who are mass defenders, we're employees, direct employees of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We work for a statewide agency. Mm. And so our argument is that we should be treated the same as other employees of statewide agencies.
Right, right. And so right now, the reason that you're prohibited from collective bargaining is what?
Well, unfortunately, when our elected representatives in, I think, 1984 passed Massachusetts General Laws Chapter 211D, they failed to specify in that statute who our employer is. So what the Massachusetts Labor Relations Board has claimed is, well, you don't have a statutorily defined employer, so if you can't collectively bargain because we don't know who'd be sitting across the table from you. Mm. I mean, I think that's a lot of baloney because, of course, we have a employer. It's the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. There is certainly, you know, a management structure for our agency, just like every other agency.
You know, a recent audit from State Auditor Suzanne Bump followed up on an audit that was done about 7 years ago. And the first audit from 7 years ago said 98% of the courts in Massachusetts were not following guidelines to determine a defendant's ability to pay for an attorney. And now this recent audit from Bump 7 years later says, well, there have been some improvements, but CPCS needs to also fix the way it documents money. I mean, I'm just wondering, is oversight an issue here? And if oversight improved, do you think that would change things? Or how do you view these issues?
Deb, I don't think oversight is the issue here. Hmm. We need the right to collectively bargain and seek the protections of a contract, just like all the other employees of statewide agencies in the Commonwealth. But also, keep in mind, Committee for Public Counsel Services is absolutely not in charge of evaluating people to see if they qualify for appointing counsel. Hmm. That's not in our mandate. It's not our job. In Massachusetts, it's the probation department and the courts that are determining whether people are eligible for appointing counsel. Mm-hmm. If they are, then we fight for them and we advocate for them as best we can. You know, whether it's a criminal case, whether it's a situation where, you know, families are in danger of being separated, care and protection cases, that type of thing, whether it's an issue of a civil commitment for mental health issues or substance use disorder or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we're not determining who's eligible for appointed counsel. So
I understand, you know, but obviously when the state auditor is raising questions about oversight of how public defense is determined and what happens with, I think it's there are certain fees now for public defenders and what happens with that money. I mean, I'm just saying, are there improvements that need to be made when we're talking about paying more money or potentially to CPCS if collective bargaining is allowed?
Right. Well, that would be further on down the road. That's a whole other issue. You know, whether we would able, you know, we'd be able to increase salaries if we had a collective bargaining agreement or a contract. You know, but as far as a rationale for denying us those rights, I don't think that makes sense to say maybe there's more oversight needed in a different branch of government, you know, saying that they need to do a better job of evaluating people. And also, let's keep in mind, you know, when the police stop you and say, you know, these are your Miranda rights. If you cannot afford a counsel, one will be appointed to represent you. They don't say, oh, and by the way, we're going to see, you know, what you can contribute to that. You know, I think that if the government wants to take away someone's liberty, they do, under our Constitution, have an obligation to provide a lawyer, and a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ben Evans, public defender here in Massachusetts. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, James Carroll discusses his new novel, The Cloister. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.